And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Surge! It's a fully loaded Sith Shuttle with carbos!
Surge! 2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Padme, on a diplomatic mission to Mandalore, guarantees the pacifist planet the Republic's full protection, but she and Duchess Satine soon find something sinister lurking beneath the planet's serene facade. There will be poisonous Sprite bottles, King Tut from Egypt, and two of my favorite ladies finally getting a team up. We're talking about corruption this week. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, how'd you like a nice big glass of slurm?
Oh, I didn't right? think of slurm.
I just did. Gosh. It looks like it. Actually, I can't remember the name of the energy drink. It sort of looked like, but yeah, there's a little bit of slurm going on there too.
Oh man,
slurm for kids.
Oh my God, it is slurm. Oh.
It was probably not too long. Slurm probably did come before this, so this could be a tribute to slurm.
What's the drink from?
Surge is
what? Slusho! From both the Alias fandom and Cloverfield. Slusho is the drink that J.J. Abrams used that was owned by a company called Taruga. And it was also, you'd see slurm machines in the show Alias. Slusho. But what you found out is, they were taking this, deep sea nectar and harvesting it, and part of the reason why Cloverfield came up, because they accidentally drilled into Cloverfield's lair, and he was just like, oh god, and that's, I'm gonna go attack New York. But also, this drink, if not used right, was actually quite poisonous and bad for you, so.
Yeah, sort of like this space slurm, except slurm is already space slurm, so.
That is true. Oh, I haven't thought of slurm in so long. You just made me so happy.
Slurm's Mackenzie.
Oh, man. It just looked like a Sprite bottle to me. Oh, I miss Futurama. I miss it a lot. That was a good show.
It was a great show.
I don't think I ever saw... I know I'm missing a few episodes here and there, because I'd always catch Futurama either later on Adult Swim or on Comedy Central, but I never have actually watched it from beginning to end, so I know there's a couple episodes here and there I haven't seen. But my God, Zap Brannigan is my favorite character. Hey, Zap Brannigan is amazing.
He kind of fits in right well with our show as far as class goes.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't Nathan Fillion do the voice of him?
I'm not sure.
I think he does. Because he has a very Captain Hammer sound to his voice. Oh no, he's voiced by Billy West.
Oh, okay. Wow, same guy who does Fry and Stimpy.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Because he's very, very much a, what's his name? Very much a Captain Hammer kind of character, from Mr. Dr. Hoyle will sing along Brock Boggs. So.
I had a girlfriend who was friends with Billy West before he got famous. He would do he used to hang out with a Subgenius, and he would be on Howard Stern every once in a while. And he was still doing voiceover work, but nobody really knew who he was. And she was a DJ at the college radio station, and she had him make a promo for her. And her name on the radio was Gobi, and he did it in Stimpy's voice. But about 3 years before Ren and Stimpy came out, it was just a voice he had.
Oh!
It's kind of the voice of Larry Fine from the Three Stooges. And he just did, Gobi on the radio! In Stimpy voice, and that was her, promo she would play in between, links and stuff and songs. And everybody used to make fun of her and her stupid, oh, Gobi and her stupid Link. And then Ren and Stimpy came out and they were just like, hey, how did you get? And she's like, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's how you do it.
Yeah,
you...
that's right. That's right. Stimpy was doing my promos. Yeah, before Ren and Stimpy came out, you guys, you can buy it.
I knew Stimpy before it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of excited about this week, but it was another middle week for me. So you ready to get into it?
I am.
All right.
You
so.
Know, when have I ever said no? Let's not get into
you,
this.
You should do
let's
that.
Just,
one time
let's just
like,
go home. Let's just well, wait. We are home.
I was gonna say I am home. I'm in my bedroom. Just one week, I'm just like, you ready to do this, Chris? No, and you hang up on me. It's like,
no, I don't like this anymore.
Chris, come back. I don't want to recruit somebody else. Oh, Chris. So, yeah. Okay, so. Corruption is the 49th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on October 8th, 2010. It was written by Cameron Litvak and directed by Juan Carlo Volpe. Some extra information for you about the episode. The Mugen crew members were from a planet called Muga. Big surprise. They were well known in the galaxy for a type of tea called Mugen tea. The Mugen Captain Teeva, I just realized his first name was T, is voiced by Dee Bradley Baker. While the character is imprisoned in this episode, somehow he does escape to be seen in the Zygarian slaver arc in season 4, which actually makes sense now because of that planet's design. That's a really cool planet. Anyway, and in the episode of Featurette, Dave Filoni said, one of the things that was particularly challenging always in Clone Wars is how do we do crowds of people? Lots of people think it's easy. You have this little character, you hit a button, and hundreds of them appear. That's not really the case at all. Having a variety of different looking characters to create a population is important. One thing that we had experimented in with the Senate was the idea of these 2D cards to help create the crowd simulation, which is a flat projection of a character. So when you look at it at one angle, you see this character. If you took the camera and rotated it, and it came around to the side of it, it's pretty much a cardboard standee, basically. So for this parade scene of Mandalore, when they come out of the opening of this giant space, we wanted to fill it with people and fill it with confetti and make it feel like a big welcome for Padme. A lot of those characters are flat 2D cardboard cutouts. You just can't tell from the angle that we use and how we shot it. And that is something that once it was successful there on Mandalore, you're going to see that growing and the benefit of that throughout the series as we move forward.
Huh. It's sort of the digital equivalent of George Lucas sticking a bunch of Q-tips in the crowd scenes for the pod race.
I remember seeing that.
It was all boxes
it was really
of Q-tips.
Cool. Like what they did is like when they were talking about it, they were showing the Senate and he paused it. And he highlighted, like, one episode, like, it had a circle, and you could see the people. And then it zoomed in, and it showed, like, what they looked like. And you could tell they were flat, like, up close. Like, when they actually showed a picture of what it was supposed to look like, they were flat. And their proportions were a little bit shorter, too. They looked a little scrunched together. But that was probably just because, you know, like, from the angle that they were looking at.
It was to give the perspective of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
force
cool.
Perspective.
Like, and then when I was, like, watching the episode, I was looking at the crowd scene, like, from a distance. I was like, those people over there aren't moving. You could tell they're not moving.
Uh-huh.
Like, now that I knew to look for it, I was just like, oh, hey, like, they're, like, they would show people up close, like, waving. But across the way, like, the other people weren't moving at all. And it was cool because I finally noticed that. That's a really cool trick because if not for that, I never noticed it before. So, TV magic. So it's like Dave Filoni like mind Jedi mind trick.
It's dust. An illusion, Hope. An illusion.
Illusion. He Jedi mind tricked us into believing things. You know who also uses the Jedi mind tricks to make people believe in him? Even though you don't want to know what he is believing in.
Sometimes when the mind is weak.
Oh, no means no. Mm. Oh, consent. Consent. Consent is everything.
No means no is even a statement that even if you Yoda-fy it, it still comes out no means no.
Ah!
Yeah. It's like a Yoda palindrome.
Ah!
You learn something new every day, listeners.
That's actually, yeah. Means
it's a Yoda-proof statement. But I know there's a statement that's not a Yoda-proof statement, and here it comes.
The challenge of hope is to overcome corruption. In bed.
I just copied and pasted, and I just realized my name is in there.
Your name is in this episode a lot. It's funny. Whenever I hear it in Star Wars and they use the word hope, it's just like, ha!
The challenge of me.
Yep.
Bring it. Please don't. I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need it to be
you
brought.
You got the final line of dialogue in Rogue One. Come on.
That was.
The last thing Rogue One did was look you in the eye and say your name.
That was pretty cool. That was a nice moment.
How often do you get to take a movie and go, say my name, and it does.
I'll say my name. They're a little throwback to the 90s.
The Empire's kind of sketchy.
Oh my god, Beyonce is pregnant.
Yeah, twins.
Yay!
Why do I know that? Because my roommate actually told me, like, came to tell me that today.
That's what my Twitter was one of two things. It was either the press conference with the White House or Beyonce.
I wish I had good memory. I would tell people you can go back to, there's a Jay Guys and Jedi episode with my Beyonce story in it.
Oh, I was actually thinking about that today, and I don't know why.
She's come so far from that underage drinker.
Oh, now she's a queen! Queen! I saw people on Twitter, they're like, why am I crying about this more than I cried over my own children being born? I was like, oh,
yeah, there's something wrong. That's
you
why.
Slow down there.
There's something wrong deep inside that you need to address.
I love Beyonce as much as like the next fan, but that's something you need to. When did my cat bite my glasses? Sorry, I was adjusting my headband and I felt something on my glasses and I looked down and there's like little kitty marks on the arms of my glasses.
Oh, nice.
What a jerk. I had to pet her later.
Gonna pet the hell out of her later.
Yeah. All right, so, act one?
Act one.
All right. All politics and how they can backfire on you. Because Duchess Satine of Mandalore chose neutrality for her people in the Clone Wars, members of the Senate are turning their backs on them for aid. Mandalore can only get supplies through the black market, which is making the planet run on greed and corruption! Get it? Because that's the title of the episode. You're going to hear that a lot. Satine calls her gal pal Padme to help out. Girl power episode activate! Padme arrives and the ladies launch into politics and how bad Mandalore needs help. First, though, they have to have a parade! Confetti! It's a parade! I just totally quoted Misha Collins just now. Anyway, the women head for Satine's palace. Then, the Netflix subtitles say that ominous music is playing. A mysterious ship flies into Mandalore's capital city and lands on the loading dock. The door opens and out walks evil King Tut from Egypt and his men, and a Mugen smuggler who is up to no good. They deliver several crates of Sprite bottles, but now I'm going to try and call them Slurm bottles, and the customs official questions what they're doing there. He must be a Pepsi guy. King Tut pays off the custom officials, and they unload their ship. In Le Casa Satine, the leading officials and Mandalors debate neutrality, cut off supply lines, and greed affecting the people. And then Legends of the Hidden Temple leader, Prime Minister Almec, leads the squabble as the leaders debate alternatives. Padme is like, okay, children, calm the fuck down. Mommy is here. Let's chat. Mom offers them Republic aid. And the leaders are like, hey, pot calling the kettle black. The Republic is altogether more corrupt than Mandalore is on its own. Have you seen that fat Ryloff Senator Orin Freetah? He eats like 12 chickens a day, and his people are starving. You have no right coming in here and spewing that shit to us. So shut your mouth, and Satine shuts down that nonsense. She calls out the meeting to come back later when everybody has chilled out. Back on the loading docks, King Tut sells a liquid called, Slaven. I misspelled it. Slaven. Or Salvin. Slaven. To the Mandalorians, who really aren't asking enough questions. It makes twice as much tea for twice the profit. It's only toxic if the mixture is not right, so you can kind of see where the plot is going from here.
I have an idea. If you're gonna have something to mix in with the tea, why not use water? Why not dilute it with water? There you go.
Cheaper. Maybe space water is different.
Well, the salbin looks like it's, when they mix it, it looks like it's sort of like, maybe it absorbs, it sort of absorbs the flavor of whatever it's mixing in, so you can't tell the difference or something. But yeah.
It's kind of like when you pour vodka into stuff, like it's stronger, but you, outside of that, it's like hard to tell because it doesn't really have a scent.
Right, right.
But I like how it's almost like blood red and then light blue. I was like, this is an evil moment. It's a red liquid. And then it turned blue. My kitty's outside my window. I'm going to pet you later. Hi, honey.
Oh, you're going to get pet.
She scared the crap out of me. I just saw these eyes looking at me through the window. Hi, honey. Oh, she's meowing. He wants inside. Sorry. What did you think of Act 1?
Now, did you sort of think that the scene where they come out into the confetti parade, I thought that scene almost mirrored the scene in episode 2 where they go, where they, the romantic scene where they go out into the arena.
Oh,
and I was starting
South
to think
TM.
I'm starting to think that maybe Sabine and Padme, and this sort of goes in with the, you know, Sabine and Obi-Wan, Sabine and Padme, Obi-Wan and Padme, you know, maybe all of them are sort of attracted to the same kind of people, you know?
Oh my god!
So there's a little spark. There was a lot of little eye, there was a lot of like eye contact and smiling, you know, like, oh yes, you get me, just before they pulled out into the confetti crowd. And I was thinking like, sort of wishful thinking, actually. But
I would totally, yeah. Yeah, let's have just, like, a polyamorous relationship with the four of them, and they can all move away and, like, live, like, on, like, Naboo. Yay!
No! Dagobah! No. Dagobah!
Not a day goes by that I think about that.
They'll be like, oh my god, look, Yoda's outside the window. We're gonna pet you later.
Oh man, I never thought about that, but it's also, yeah. Oh, Gal Pals TM. I love it.
The way the dialogue runs, the only thing that's different is they aren't they don't make out before they come out of the tunnel, but it's like, you know, this eye contact conversation in a tunnel, and then they come out into the light with people yelling all over, you know, and around them.
Yeah.
It's very similar in the angles and the way it was shot.
You know, still on that point, I just kind of think about it. Like, unlike like last week where we were talking about how like Senator Chuchi and Ahsoka had been like longtime friends somehow, I didn't really feel that with them, but I actually can definitely feel these two being, Satine and Padme being really good friends. And we've seen them talk in the past episodes and like being in the same spaces and like help each other the best they can.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel it worked a lot better that week. And just if guys, I'm going to tell you something now. So girlfriends, like girls who have friends that they're really close to, they are like super special relationships. Like my three best friends are like my sisters. They are my family. And I love them in a very, very, very different, like, more than anything, like I love my family, and so like.
Go on.
No, girls. girls have these kind of like relationships where they're really special in a way that
tell Yoda.
That I don't think men can understand.
Yoda will try to understand.
Sorry.
I'm trying to make a serious point.
I'm trying to keep him out of here. I don't know.
But I think a lot of it is just like how often that girls are sometimes, especially nerd girls. My three best friends are all nerd girls like me, and we've all been through like different kind of nerd crap where we've been judged by it and stuff like that. And it's, I think a lot of it is girls are very emotional. So when you, for me, I was always a tomboy growing up, so it was always easy for me to associate with guys, and I didn't really have like, other than like one or two people, I didn't really ever have close female friends until late high school into college. And it was really hard for me to find such close women that I could associate with and that, like, got me and understood me. But when I found them, like, oh my gosh, like, my girlfriends are just the most amazing people. And you always know good girlfriends because they bring out the best in you and they will also call you out on your bullshit. And so all three of my best friends definitely call me out when I have bullshit. And so, like, I kind of like that they sort of hinted at that with Satine and Padme, that these two are actually really close. They understand how each other think. They have very similar things, and they make each other stronger. And we kind of see that at the end when, like, Padme fights for Satine. Like, that's a really good moment of showing, like, what kind of friendship they have. And so, yeah, that's my personal story for the day. Continue. Shut up, Yoda.
As you wish.
Which is leads me to my next note. There's another, and I cannot remember if it was Darth Vader. I think it was Darth Vader says it to Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars. And you know, whenever I hear a character say "as you wish," I think of the Princess Bride.
Yeah.
But I think in the context of Star Wars, "as you wish" means the exact opposite of the Princess Bride. It always seems to be said in a more grudging way in Star Wars, but it always seems to come up over and over again.
Did he say it to Padme at some point in the prequels?
I don't remember.
Well, he said it as Vader to Palpatine, so that's romantic enough.
That's about all I really had. I had notes about the cases of Slurm that they were unpacking, but I jumped the gun on that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I was just like, those look like packages of soda, and I thought it was going to be, you know, some liquid for a bomb or something like that. No, it was soda, basically.
Yeah. I only had, like a shallow note and then a serious note. For my shallow note, is I actually really like the Mugen's ship, where, like, when it lands and then, like, bug crawls across the dock. That's a really cool design.
It's not really the most efficient way to land, but it sure looks cool. It's very Star Wars.
Yeah.
It could have just landed and the legs came out, and we've seen ships like that the legs come out like bug legs, but this one, like, yeah, it takes up a little bit of the slack of landing when it lands, and it looks really cool.
And it kind of reminded me, I think it fit well into, like, the theme, because the Mugens are, like, clearly, like, an Egyptian theme. So it was kind of almost like a little scarab beetle crawling across the deck.
Well, they're a little bit like the whatchamacallits from, I can't remember their race now, from last episode.
The Pantorans?
No, they're from the prequels from episode one.
The Trade Federation guys.
Yes, they look very much like they could be off the same genetic evolutionary branch as them, you know, except they're like somewhere between them and the Geonosians, you know. They're a little more tall and gangly.
Yeah, maybe they are, because, like, that's the Trade Federation and this was, like, the Commerce Guild or something.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, that, like, area is just known for being, like, bankers, because there's another group of bankers. I think we saw them in episode 3 when Obi-Wan went to the planet and they were like, "Help, we're being held hostage, help us." They're kind of a very similar design too. They're kind of, like, tall and green and gangly, not really, yeah. Don't really have noses and stuff like that. So definitely, maybe that area of the galaxy is just known for banking.
Nemoidians, that's what I'm trying to think
Nemoidians.
Of.
Nemoidians. So maybe it's just like that area is just known for banking or something. So, and then my other note is, season 3 is kind of like this ragtag season of just, like, of various different things. And minus the Clone 2-parter opening it, so far this season has been all politics. I started realizing that the last 3 episodes are kind of connected in a way. Because we got supply lines with Bail Organa and Jar Jar to show how important trade routes are. Pantora, in the last episode, was what happens when you bar those trade routes to a planet. And now the politics of neutrality are affecting Mandalore in the same way. Like, they don't have their supply lines. They're being barred from getting help because they're neutral. So these, like, the two kind of before episodes, like, really led into this one and kind of tied it in. But by this point, 5 episodes in, I get it. I understand this point.
Well, this was something that, like, where this is where the show starts improving upon the movies, where they were like, oh, trade blockades and stuff. And it just sounded like gobbledygook that they made up to serve the story. But now they're actually showing you how this actually, you know, has nuts and bolts effects and what it was done for and all that. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, so far for, like, season three, like, this is our third episode in a row of politics, and it just feels, like, very heavy-handed. Like, they're beating us in the face, like, politics! They're important! Like, that's what I feel like. And so I feel like we could easily lose at least one of the last three episodes and, like, just take it out and put something else there. And still get that point across. Like, you could either have supply lines and then this one, and then sphere of influence and this one, but I don't need all three because I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. So I had a follow-up question. If you could lose one of the last three episodes, which one would you pick?
Easy, the last one. What was the last one? Was supply lines, I think, was... Or sphere of influence.
Sphere of influence.
Yeah, sphere of influence was definitely... Or wait, no, let me check, because I think, actually, supply lines, I gave that a whole point lower than sphere of influence, actually. So supply lines is the one with Jar Jar in it. So
yeah,
that's what's happening with me.
as much as I love Rio and Ahsoka, I would actually have to lose sphere of influence. I just think it was just it was more of a hot mess, and... Yeah. Because of the kidnapping plot, it didn't get the politics side across. I think just from needing some kind of political episode to lead into this, I think Supply Lines did it better for the politics at the very least.
Then we are in agreement. So say we.
Yeah. No, I picked the other episode. You took Jar Jar, I took the ladies.
Oh.
So I disagree with you. I think Jar Jar did better than Rio and Ahsoka.
Well, then it is war, then.
War!
We'll take it to Facebook where everybody fights. We'll take it to the arena. Facebook.
We'll just, like, start batting our microphones. Like,
we're all true battles of honor are fought. I will start the volley by calling you Special Snowflake.
Oh, how dare you! I will call you... Oh!
You can call me Mansplainer.
I will call
you... Let me tell you why you shouldn't like the Jar Jar episode, m'lady. You just sit down over there. I'll tell you about fandom.
I have you beat. I will tell you... I'll tell people all terrible things about you on Twitter!
Oh, no, I don't do Twitter. I'll be without defenses.
I know! You have no way to stop me!
Touche, Mullinex. Touche.
Till next time, Honeywell. To Act 2.
Act 2.
I really hope you were playing like some like awesome Lord of the Rings music.
Hope so too, man.
like the Battle of Endor or like Requiem for a Dream playing in the background of some kind. Alright, Act 2. Padme and Satine have a several minute long talk about politics over dinner. Basically, they're just like, oh man, war is bad. Padme is just, actually, this was interesting. Padme was actually a bit disturbed by Palpatine because her sources says that the war is not winning. And Palpatine's like, yeah, we're totally winning. So I thought that was interesting at least. And they talk about how bad greed is and how there's corruption. So we'll move on. Satine invites Padme to tour a new hospital in the morning, and then they talk about their boyfriends, Obi-Wan and Anakin. I wish that last part was true, but it didn't happen. The next morning, Satine and Padme go to the hospital, and oh no, there's a bunch of sick children pouring into the hallways. Apparently they were poisoned, and I bet you it's from the plot of Act 1. The ladies go to Prime Minister Almec, who is like, I bet it's those Death Watch guys and not corrupt dudes in the government like me. And Satine doesn't think it's Death Watch, and Almec is like, I need to exit stage right. Bye now. Satine and Padme are like, huh, that wasn't suspicious at all, we say sarcastically. He didn't care about the kids, and we must save the babies, so let's team up! Yay! We'll find out the truth ourselves! Girl power! Yeah! I love them. Satine calls her personal guards and assigns them to investigate the affair. Save the cheerleader, save the Mandalore, pretty much. The ladies head out to the school where children were poisoned. In the cafeteria, kids are chugging these bottles of Sprite. The superintendent and Dr. Zazz, that's his real name, Zazz, grabs a couple bottles of Sprite because it comes from an outside vendor. While testing the drink, Satine laments that how could this happen? It's so bad, and corruption is bad, because that's the title of the episode. And they find Slaven in the tea, causing the illness in the children. They head to the docks. They realize that all the record logs of the school have been erased, and the superintendent runs the hell out of there. But Satine's guards catch him and cut him off and arrest him. Satine threatens him with her guards, and Padme is like, aren't you a pacifist? The superintendent is like, they offered me something I couldn't refuse. Money! I didn't know they were poison, but hey, there's money involved. And all the money. And he tells them that the shipping company is headed up by this guy named Sadiq, who is the middleman involved. So the ladies hop over to the company. Sadiq has zero fucks to give about this matter. He's making money on the war, so who cares if kids are dying? He gives them information on Muga in importing the tea, though, and it's through the Commerce Guild. Satine's staring down skills are strong in this one, and he also gives them information about a shipment coming that night.
Sadiq's got the most Australian accent ever on Star Wars.
That, like, he is the most stereotypical corrupt bad guy ever.
Yeah,
he's like,
he doesn't even pretend to not be, yeah.
Like, he's not even, he's kind of like, oh, what was it? Like, the senator from Umbara who was like a vampire, Senate Spy, that was the episode. Not Senate Spy, Senate Murder, the one where, like, Padme's uncle died, but there was, like, that one guy that, like, was pretty much a vampire, and you looked at him, and you're like, yeah, you're evil.
Yeah, but he was cloaking it. This guy, I was waiting, and I was like, you gotta put a line of dialogue in here that shows why he feels, and he was like, I've got diplomatic immunity, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's why he so feels comfortable being so candid, you know, about his corruption. But, like, I'm glad they put that line in there. It would have been like, dude, shut up. You're going to get arrested, dum-dum.
Yeah.
Hey, dum-dum.
Satine's, like, stare game was strong. Like, she just, like, glared and then, like, leaned in some. And he was just like, oh, here's more information for you.
If you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to stare at you some more.
I know. My favorite part when he was like, it'll take me a while to find these up. And Satine stares at him, and he turns the computer around, pushes three buttons, and, like, turns it back around. He's like, there you go. Okay, Mom, sorry. I made Mom mad. Mom and her girlfriend are mad at me. I'm so going to read Padme Satine fanfiction tonight. I'm so excited.
I think this part definitely had a little more. I'm like watching it. I'm like, look at them flirt. They're flirting.
They're so cute. I love them. They're flirting in the way that like Anakin and Obi-Wan flirt.
They say yeah. But except it's cute. Anakin and but these two are doing little smirks after they'll look at each other and be like. So yeah, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but you know, I'm not one that's always suggesting that people are flirting and stuff in episodes of Clone Wars, but you know, I'm kind of like the canary in the coal mine. If I notice it through my thick skull, something must be going on.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Anakin and Rex are always flirting to me. They're always flirting at all times. Aww.
I'm happy that the visual style is back after three episodes. This episode does have a definite visual, the Clone Wars visual flair back to it, where when you're in a different place, it feels, you know, it has a different feel to it, sometimes completely different. Although, Mandalore Elementary School really, like, reminds me of Clone School, you know, clone training, and when they're kids, you know. The kids look a lot alike, too.
And this is going to sound so bad, and I don't... Because, like, you know how Mandalore is kind of, like, this, like, really, really strict military place, and they have this, like, long military history? Kinda, the school lore sort of kind of reminded me of like Hitler's youth.
Yes, yeah, they're all in the same outfit. They're all little Aryan looking. All the little boys look a lot alike.
All the Mandalorian men have hipster undercuts. Every single one, like the Mohawk hipster undercut, and I'm just waiting for one to have a man bun. But yeah, like they all Mandalore school is like I was kidding, kind of like a Hitler's Youth vibe
The only thing it lacked sort of.
And we've already called it before that, like, Mandalore is, like, Germany of Star Wars.
Well, it was weird. Like, it was a school, but it was very... Schools usually have color and decorations and stuff on the wall, teaching aids on the walls. This was just, like, very Spartan, and it was... If it was, like, two shades wider, everything was gray. If it was two shades wider, it would have totally looked like clone facilities.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know they weren't into the cafeteria, but I remember my cafeteria in my high school had, like, posters on the wall for, like, upcoming events. My elementary school used to have, like, flags of the world hanging from it. So, like, we would all, like, take turns trying to name all the flags from all the different, like, countries.
Yeah.
But there's always at least, like, a poster of, like, this thing's coming up. And it was nowhere.
All those goat men. Look at all the goat men running around and not...
I know, we got a goat man last week and now they're everywhere.
There's 15 goat men running around like Oompa Loompas and not a single line of goat dialogue in the whole thing. Not even like one of them getting shot and going, ah, you know, as they get shot. Nothing. Uh-huh. They totally cheaped out on the goat men except for the visuals. But the way goat men talk and their noises are what make the goat men. So what the hell? If you're gonna have goat men, have goat men. Pay the guy to do his goat man voice.
Well, or at least get D. Bradley Baker to do it. He was already in this episode for being an Egyptian guy.
They could have just gone back over his old dialogue and got a few ats out for, you know, even when they're carrying stuff, you could have had them in the background talking to each other, you know.
I mean, all they had to do was like, oh, Dee, thanks for recording for this King Tut guy. Can you do us one more favor? Take 5 seconds and just go, ah!
Yep.
And you would turn and just go,
nah. Just had a line like, not bad. How are you guys doing? Not bad. And, you know.
That's it. That's all we needed.
That's all we needed.
And, like, Dee is, like, the master of monster voices, too, so.
But that's how I really got on part two. I'm so glad the visual element is back into play.
Most of my notes are shallow for this act, but the meat of my notes were in the first and the third act. When I heard the name Dr. Zazz, I thought of one of two things. One was Dr. Zazio, which is my favorite guilty pleasure show, Hoarders. She's my favorite therapist, so her name is Dr. Zazio. And then the other one was there's an episode of Big Bang Theory where Sheldon gets a bunch of cats, and one of the cats is named Zazzle because he's Zazzy.
Oh.
So when I heard like Dr. Zazz, and I was like, oh, is he Zazzy? Is he gonna be Zazzy? I had a dorky moment. Anyway, all the men in Mandalore have hipster hair haircuts for his cool. What's next, the man bun? Oh, when Satine got pissed off at her guards, when she got pissed off at the superintendent and she threatened him with her guards, that's not very pacifist of her.
Oh no, you can see Padme get. See, that's the thing is, I don't think she's a pacifist. I think she's for peace.
Yeah.
But she's non. This is what I have to tell everybody. I'm nonviolent, but I'm not a pacifist. If there's a need, you know, if it's like life or death or you know, she basically with her, she got mad enough to be just like, all right, you know, kick his ass. And
yeah.
I was surprised Padme got surprised because Padme used to hang around Anakin.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, well, she knows Satine. She knows that Satine's a pacifist. I think there's also an extra layer of, like, it's one thing if there's, like, soldiers involved, because as sad as it is, there's kind of an expectation that soldiers go into battle, and there's a chance they might be killed. It's, like, an understatement. But now there's an extra layer of there are children involved. These are innocent children, and children have no say in, like, any of this. And they're just sick. And I'm not sure if they're dying or not. At some point, it sounded like they were dying. And then at the end, it sounded like they were all okay. So I guess some kids magically came back to life. I think that was the extra layer of Satine, was that now there are kids involved. And it was like an extra incentive. And it made her more mad than normal. Like, that's how I kind of took it. And I just like the whole Satine of just like... I'll defend myself. Guard, kick his ass.
Yes.
I got this with him involved. He can do it for me. And that's kind of the interesting side of Satine. Like, she kind of did that with Obi-Wan back in the Season 2 Mandalore arcs. Like, she had a little stunner gun to, like, Obi-Wan did all the actual fighting, and we had talked about that, of, like, Obi-Wan respects her enough to, so he'll get his hands dirty so she doesn't have to. So, like, I think that's... It worked there. This time, it kind of came off a little bit more brutal of, like, I'm not going to get my hands dirty, so I'm going to get, like, Joe's schmo guard here kick your ass for me. So it came off as a different way as it did in the Season 2 arc, so... and finally, I like seeing Satine and Padme doing this adventure on their own, but I still wish, to this day, there was some kind of adventure with the ladies and Anakin and Obi-Wan all together and working together and, like, the two couples together. Like, a double date of adventure hell. Like, something's happening, and Padme is there, and Obi-Wan and Anakin are there, and they all have to work together. I still want that, and I know, I've seen all of Clone Wars. I know it doesn't happen.
Right.
But I still want it. I want it, Dave Filoni. Dave. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Gene.
Forgot about that.
You told me to make sure you remembered from last week.
Yeah, don't let me forget about da-da-da-da-da-da. Gene.
Gene will agree. I don't know if Gene would agree. Gene, you better agree, or it's...
Yeah, he has no choice in it now. It's already part of the show.
We'll just start.
How could you not like somebody going da 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 da? Your name, you know.
Da 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 da. Chris.
Yeah, I love it.
Da 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 da. Hope. Be cuter if somebody else is doing it. Now it just...
You're basically the human equivalent of an exclamation mark.
Yeah, but when I do it for my own name, it kind of just sounds like I'm self-high-fiving myself. Self-high-five.
Well, if you say it, da-da-da-da-da-da, hope it is, you know, but, you know, work
here,
that.
You do it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da, hope!
Oh, that's really...
Put some zazz into it.
Zazzles! He's zazzy!
I'm starting to question your faith in sparkle magic.
Sparkle magic?
Maybe you haven't seen that movie.
What movie?
Now I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's a
that
guy's
movie that you haven't seen.
It's the movie with the it's a fucked up movie, and it's got the guy in the rabbit Frank in the rabbit mask.
The bunny. Not the bunny. Sparkle magic. Oh, there's apparently a movie called Sparkle Magic Illuminator Light Laser Lights.
Oh.
Oh no, Sparkle Magic is a company. Sparkle Magic Rabbit. I bet I beat you. No, I just found more Sparkle Magic lights. I think I know what you're talking about, though. It's the one where he sees the bunny in the dreams, and it's
yes,
kind of...
Yes, it's just on the tip of my tongue, but the movie is the name of the main character, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, but I know what movie you're talking about. Oh, God, it's going to bother me all night, too. Like, it's going to be like, we're going to reach the end and
there's
be like...
There's people yelling it at their iPod right now.
I know. That's okay. Here, when I think of Sparkle Magic, I think of Twilight Sparkle from Friendship is Magic. My Little Pony! Because Friendship is Magic! But not mine and Honeywell's friendship. It's Wool! Wool, I say. I don't know what's wrong with this episode, and I'm super...
Donnie Darko!
That's what it is! Yeah, I still haven't seen it, but I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's not quite my cup of tea, so it's not something I would normally watch.
It may not even be Sparkle Magic. I might be quoting it wrong, but yeah, that's where it was coming from.
That's okay, because friendship is magic. Because Twilight Sparkle, yeah.
Dun 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 dun. Hope.
Chris. Okay, Act 3.
Act 3.
Act 3. Maybe because I had some extra coffee. I'm like super giddy tonight. All right, Act 3. That night at the loading docks, oh my man, now it's just like all like lesbian porn in my brain. Padme.
Hey, me too.
That night at the loading docks, Padme is having a bit of fun sneaking around with Satine. The Duchess says, "Well, I chat with Kenobi, who is totally not my boyfriend, and he said that you're used to this. So, yeah. And the ladies are like, you can only be a pretty princess for so long until you gotta get shit done.
Oh, two princesses, one cup. Get shit done.
Oh my god. So they spot a Mugen's ship arriving at the docks. They watch the inspection official get paid off and walk away. King Tut continues to unload the ship. Satine needs to see who this is actually in who is actually in charge of this. The next day in her palace, she calls some guy who I assume is the leader of the docks or the captain of the docks. It's kind of unclear, so I wasn't sure. And Satine is like, this place is not free of corruption. We get it. It's the title of the episode. Oh my god, stop saying corruption in the fucking episode. At least she then drops a very beautiful line of, the most dangerous weapon in the galaxy is money. So bravo, Satine. That's actually a really good line. She calls out the captain guy that he's stalling and not arresting them. So of course that means that he's part of it too. With no other choice, the captain must investigate. At the docks, the guards, they find the guards protecting a warehouse. They're under orders not to let anybody in, and the captain is like, I didn't tell you to do it. Open the door for the Duchess. And the guards attack Satine, but her guards protect them. And the captain knocks them out and gets the warehouse doors open. Inside, the Mugens and Mandalorians tampering with the Sprite bottles all freeze up, and they're like, oh, hey, what's up? And then a shootout erupts between the two sides. The captain tries to redeem himself with some sweet ninja rolls through the blaster fire, but then he gets shot and injured. So now it's time for no more Mrs. Nice Padme. Padme gets two guards to slide a loading crate through into the door for protection. As they push the crate through the warehouse, Padme goes to fucking town on the smugglers. She shoots up their asses. She kills them left and right. She's injuring people. This is beast mode Padme to the max. Satine's guards then swarm in and arrest the Mugens and the Mandalorians involved. King Tut's reign has come to an end, and the captain guy is like, damn, that Padme is a freaking badass. Thanks, we already know all this. We know that she is. Satine wants the captain to burn this warehouse to the fucking ground and take all the evidence with her. Her guards get freaking flamethrowers and torch the place. The ladies go to Prime Minister Almec and fill him in on the matter and tells him that the antidote has been sent out to the kids. He's like, well, I'm glad that's over and there's no leads to the higher-ups in the government. And Satine is like, hey, sit down. We need to talk about possible leads to the higher-ups in the government. And Almec's like, oh, fuck, and he sits back down. He's going to get set up a committee to look into it all because those always pan out working in the end, I say sarcastically. And the next day, the ladies set up the plot for the next episode. Satine asks Padme to request a Jedi to come to the academy and secretly look into the... wait for it! The corruption!
Ding, 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 ding!
The end! Man, if you took a drink every time they said corruption in this fucking episode, you would be drunk.
You'd be corrupted.
They said it so... That was one of those things I was like, I get it. I understand. It's there. This is the title of the episode. Stop saying corruption. Calm down. Like, I swear to God, he's probably said it at least 15 times in 22 minutes. Hey, what'd you think about three, Chris?
Well, the captain in there is obviously the same guy who does the narrator and Yularen.
Yep, and very much
is. You can totally hear his voice.
You know, the captain is a character, I kind of forgot about him. And so, like, I kind of like that. He was just like, I literally didn't do anything. Stop forcing my hand.
Yeah.
But, like, his thing was just, like, he just didn't know. And so that's why he seemed evil. So I guess, like, ignorance is bliss. So in a way, he didn't do his job because he's supposed to know everything that's going on. But they did a nice, like, kind of double thing right there, like a nice switcheroo. Like, he seemed like he was going to be evil, but he was actually a good guy. He just didn't know. So I kind of like what they did with him.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. I liked how, well, there was one line that they, you know, that they said, well, you know, basically they're like, well, you know, if we don't go check this out, then you must be part of the corruption too. And he's just like,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, yes, you're okay. You're right.
Yeah,
let's go.
Satine was full politician this.
Yeah.
Full politician this entire episode. She was just like, well, your fault then.
I don't get, maybe you noticed the reasoning in the plot line, why did she want to burn down? Why was she burning down the evidence in the warehouse? And why did she? Why? What was that for?
I had the same question. I thought it was a very odd choice. And the only thing I could think about is the fact that she doesn't know who's involved. So she could stick someone on the warehouse to protect it while the investigation is going on, but then she doesn't know if they're involved with it. So I took it as that way. Like, she just didn't know who to trust.
I didn't know if she was doing something symbolic of just like, this is what we do to corruption on Mandalore. You know,
and it could have been that. Like, it could have been something as easy as that. But the way I took it is that she just doesn't know who to trust. So she,
cause it like makes her look less trustworthy because she's destroying evidence.
Yeah, it really does. Because like her own guards were against it. Her own like superintendents, like her school kids, like there was like a lot of people she thought were cool who were not cool. So I took it as just she just didn't know who to trust, and she didn't want to put like a guard on there, and the guard in the middle of the night just takes all the stuff and resells it to somebody else. So that was the only thing I could think of, but it's a
but
very,
you know, if you, but by that logic, I'm sorry to butt in, but like that made me think, but if you left it and the guards, all they would have done is burned it, or, you know, they would have just got rid of the evidence too. So it was like, you really had nothing to lose even by like taking the risk of putting a guard on there that he was corrupt.
Why not just stand there, watch them drain the tubs out and watch them pour out all the bottles and then throw all the bottles away.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have been as dramatic or
like
symbolic.
Yeah, like cops do when they catch teenagers, you know?
I know. I mean, so, like, it wouldn't have been as bad. But, yeah, I questioned that, too. That's a very odd choice for Satine, of all people. So, I guess it's that little bit of Mandalore coming out. Finn Rao would have liked it. Finn Rao of Rebels. Rao.
Well,
he would have been like, yes, burn!
You got mentioned twice in this segment. You had the line,
I know,
you need hope. And the line, hope will only go so far.
Yeah, I can only stretch so far. I'm not very limber. I need to get back into doing yoga.
I just think of Popeye and like, I've gotten so far and I can't go no more, which is the wrong line, but that's what I think of. But that's about all I had for part three.
I have a lot.
I noticed that.
It's a wall of pink. So I'm just going to start going straight down. I love the little chat between Satine and Padme at the docks about court formalities versus getting shit done. That, to me, is the very core of what makes these two characters so great. Both have been queens or duchesses, and both work in the government, but also both having Satine know when to take off their little skirts, put on some slacks, and get their hands dirty if they must. And every time they do that, it's to help people. And that's what makes them so good. They're willing to get their hands dirty as long as it's helping people. That's who they are, that's where they come from, and that's what makes those two such great characters. All right, I guess Chris agrees, so next one.
I agree.
Chris agrees, moving on.
I was taking a sip of wine, I'm like, yes, yes, I agree.
You, like, spit your wine out on your screen. I must talk. Sorry.
What did you just say?
Do you disagree? It is wall! Oh, the wall! Anyway, I also realized something for the first time ever about this episode, and I never really thought about it before. I think they added Padme in this episode just to give her something to do at the end. Because Satine could have actually done this entire plot all by herself, except for the shootout at the end, because that's against her pacifist morals. So it seems like they added Padme into this episode just to have a character that can kick some butt at the end and shoot some bad guys for Satine.
That's a good point. I mean, they could have had some random, you know, they could have had the captain be the, you know, they could have had a random Mandalorian be the stand-in for Padme, but hey, why not bring in Padme for, you know? I mean, I also think they probably thought, like, it would be good to have the dynamics, check out the dynamics between the two characters, too. But yeah, but that's probably how they got the idea is, you know, we're going to need someone to pick up a gun.
And actually, now that I think about it, other than like the one lady in the opening meeting scene, every other speaking role in the show was guys. Like this captain, the superintendent, the official on the dock, the teacher, Dr. Zazio. I mean, like everybody else was men, so it was nice to have that little extra balance of another girl there. But yeah, I just, this entire episode could have been done without Padme, but then no one would be cool enough to shoot up the inn, so. So. And while I do love Padme, and Lord, I love Padme, I actually rather would have had Obi-Wan here instead, as I just made a point about.
Of course, of course you would.
because I think with this being an internal matter for Mandalore, he would have been torn to help out because it's not a Jedi matter. Like, they can't, apparently they can't get involved with internal matters, but that rule changes, like, every fucking week. Padme can do her thing here because it's a humanitarian issue, and they're, like, she has to help the kids. And Kenobi, I don't think, would have had the time to, like, check in with the Jedi Council, let them meditate over it, give them the things. Like, so he would have to make a choice right then and there whether to kind of go against his Jedi training and help Satine, or does he have to sit back and watch and, like, just guide her? And so it would have been a really cool character choice to see whether or not he would make that. And I just always need more Obi-Wan and Satine all the time.
They needed you in on the story meetings. That would have been a good point. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, it would have totally been better with Obi-Wan. It would have been a big sausage party for the most part, but more of a sausage party.
Yeah, well, I mean, Obi-Wan's a very mild sausage. He would just kind of watch. So he's a very mild sausage.
Sure, I mean, he's glad to hear that.
I mean, it's not like Anakin, who's just like, I'm the biggest bratwurst in the room.
That's
yeah,
true.
Like, Obi-Wan's kind of like a little, like, teeny, like, little weenie that you roll up in, like, the bread and make pigs in a blanket with. Like, he's very mild, and he's a watching sausage. He lets things work out on their own.
He's a Vienna sausage of...
Oh, I love Vienna sausages, even though they, like, are nothing but, like, oil and liquid. I love Vienna sausages. But yeah, like, I mean, it would have been very interesting to see Obi-Wan have to, like, sit back and be like, I really don't have time to call the Jedi Council, but there are children dying! This is an internal matter! So I think that would have been cool, though. There would have been a lot more carnage at the end if a Jedi was involved. Actually, maybe a lot less carnage. He would try not to hurt people, and, like, Padme was just shooting the fuck out of everybody, so...
Yeah.
I think that's the most people Padme has killed in a single scene in all of Star Wars.
She killed a bunch of people in that one.
I know.
It's just a little fight scene, but I was like, wow, the carnage, and it starts right out. As soon as they open the door, the smugglers are just like, ooh, take out a couple guards right off the bat, and I'm like, well, body counts. We're getting into the PG-13 more.
I thought it was a cool choice, just, like, staging-wise, that they moved a crate, and the crate's, like, about the size of the door, and so there was no way out on the other side for the smugglers and all of them. So they pretty much blocked the door and then just, like, pushed the crate forward and used that. Like, that's actually a really cool staging for that battle. That was a really nice moment. I liked that a lot.
That battle would have been a good time for a hand grenade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had
flamethrowers. They could have used that flamethrower that they used a few minutes later.
But they also couldn't then arrest anybody if they just killed them all.
That's true. It's kind of a horrible way to kill somebody, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine. I don't want to imagine. So something else I do like about this episode, because this is a two-parter with next week. I actually forgot that this was a two-parter until at the end they were like, we need a Jedi! And I was like, oh yeah, Ahsoka is coming to Mandalore next week. Hey! I remembered it then. What I like about this is that this episode stands on its own 2 feet. A lot of times when we have two-parters in Clone Wars, like, either Grievous Intrigued with the Deserter or, like, the Lerman two-parter, both episodes need each other to work as a whole. And so what I like is that this episode has a good beginning, middle, of end, and it all stands on its own feet, and you don't need the episode after it to make this episode good.
I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I completely forgot there's another episode after this that goes with this one, so I was just like, oh yeah, Ahsoka is coming, I forgot.
They're like, the way they do it sometimes, it's like a soft two-parter, you know? It's a two-parter, but if you only see the first part or the second part, you're still okay and maybe won't even notice.
And I kind of mentioned this already in Act 1, but out of the last 3 episodes, I think this works the best with the politics plot, because supply lines was slow. Sphere of Influence was just a jumbled hot mess, but this actually does a good job mixing the politics in. This is a slower episode, but I think they don't need those action-packed moments to keep the plot moving. The only thing I would worry about is, as an adult, I really appreciate the layers of it. I just think an episode like this might be lost on a younger viewer.
Yeah. It's hard for me to tell. I was just thinking that when you were saying that, like, how I would have looked at an episode like this as a kid. But it was different then, you know, because Star Wars wasn't as much Star Wars. So, mm-hmm. like, just the Star Wars-iness of it would have probably held me through, even if it was all dialogue. But if I was a kid nowadays and steeped in as much Star Wars as I want, yeah, you need more action maybe to keep the interest. It's hard to say.
Yeah, because I know when I was, like, I watched Clone Wars when I was in college. And Mandalore arcs usually bored me, because I really didn't, like, get the politics at the time. Like, now that I'm older, like, I totally get it, and Mandalore episodes are some of the best episodes. So, like, even just being, like, you know, like, 19 in college, I was just like, oh, this is boring. So, but I was also watching Clone Wars, like, once a week, and so I had a week gap to not connect things. Now I'm just watching it, like, you know, I can binge watch a season and see it all together in one go. So, yeah. I also like that this is an episode where they reveal the bad guy right in the beginning, so the plot is actually how the heroes figure it out. And that doesn't always work, but it's actually pretty well done here.
Well, the Slurm reminded me of Futurama, but the plot and even the plot reveal and the fact that they're giving poison to kids, that reminds me of The Simpsons. You remember The Simpsons episode where they're trying to cut...
No, Simpsons is one of those shows I never really watched.
They were trying to cut costs at the school, and they found out, like, they go to the school and all the kids are drinking their milk, except the milk says Malk on it. And they're like, Malk? That's not milk. And then they go in the back room and they're milking rats. and they're like looking at the rats getting milked, and then they look out into the cafeteria and all the kids are like with their milk, and close-ups of their lips, like milk drooling out of the, or Malk. Drew it out of their mouth. That's sort of what it reminded me of.
Yeah, Simpsons is one of those shows that, like, because I'm a person, I like to watch things from the beginning. And so I've definitely watched, like, episodes of The Simpsons here and there, but I've never really watched a lot of it, and I've always wanted to, but it's just, like, a bajillion episodes now.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, it's a lot of episodes now.
Isn't it, like, the longest running series of all time?
Yeah,
I
think there's over 500 episodes of it or something like that. It's
I know
insane.
I know it's one of the longest episodes shows. I can't remember if there's another show that's longer than it. I think there's, like, one other show that's longer than
it. Yeah, I think it's
Simpsons
The Guiding
right
Light, because it's a soap opera.
Yeah, something like that, or, like, yeah. My final note is, I swear to God, if they say corruption one more time. So, yeah, that's all I had. What'd you think of the episode overall, Chris?
I'm glad to have... I after the last few episodes, I was really happy about this one. I even rated it kind of high, because we're back to... We got the politics and a little action, and the visual style and the imaginativeness of it is in a little more play is in this one. And it also has... some more structure to them. The last two or three have been kind of stylistic messes, as you said. They're stuff thrown in, stuff coming in here. The rhythm of them were weird. The visual look of them were weird. This one felt like a good, solid episode of Clone Wars. I'm bumping it up for improving, but for getting a little back on track. I'm giving it an 8.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
For added a point. I just now added a 0.25 just because now I'm just wanting to read Satine Padme fanfiction. So that
a
added
quarter
a
point for fanfiction.
Yeah. So out of the last three political episodes in a row, I like this one the best. I think it's the best executed, and it's always fun to be on Mandalore. I've wanted Satine and Padme team up for a while now, and I want like 12 more Satine Padme team ups. And while it's a slower episode, it moves along all right. This isn't the most spectacular episode of Clone Wars, but it's not the worst. But I had to dock it a full point for using the word corruption a bajillion and 12 times. So I gave it my standard episode rating plus a 0.25. So I give it 7.25 out of 10. 2.5.
It might have gotten an 8.25 if one of the goat men would have spoken up.
Oh, yeah. So, as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us feedback either on iTunes or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from Facebook and iTunes. We got an iTunes review.
Yay.
So, first, that was very excited.
Yay.
Yay.
Great. An iTunes review. That's
I know.
That's wonderful, Hope.
It is wonderful.
It is. I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Whoa.
I have a disease where sometimes I sound like I'm sarcastic. It comes and goes, though.
I think it's called asshole. Anyway.
Whatever.
Finally be that way. This week's feedback comes from our Facebook page from Aaron about our episode of Clone Cadets, which Chris is going to read, and then I'm going to read our next piece of iTunes. So this is a long one. Chris, go for it.
All right. Well, I just finally finished the episode, and great job as always. Oh, yeah. I always hated Brick, so I'm glad Hope came up with a very good name for him. And what
actual
was that? Was it Bag
Brick?
Of Dicks?
No, it was Actual Asshole Brick.
Actual Asshole Brick. Okay. Although Bag of Dicks Brick would have been, has a nice little ring to it. Bag of Brick.
Oh, it does.
Bag of Bricks.
Well, hindsight is 20/20.
Yep. Seeing that there were other we were calling somebody Bag of Dicks or some, maybe that might have been another podcast. I don't remember. Seeing that there were other trainers.
I think we have called people Bags of Dicks before in the show, but it wasn't that one. It was Beta, Male, whatever, and Actual Asshole Break.
Seeing that there were other trainers besides Kaminoans and Django for the clones is actually something that was done in the old EU, so it was nice to see that come back. I wish we had gotten more of Shaak Ti. The Tartakovsky series really made me love her, but it's been confirmed as non-canon. Huh, I didn't know that. But I can still make the first season and the Invasion of Coruscant sequence work in my head, so it's my head canon. I don't see how it doesn't work as canon anyway. What happens with Obi-Wan and Anakin during the, that was my own little interjection, by the way. That wasn't what Aaron said. Back to Aaron. What happens with Obi-Wan and Anakin during the second season? Not so much. No spoilers, but trust me, Hope, what we got from the Ahsoka novel is way better. Chris, don't you dare spoil it.
It was, yeah. The Ahsoka novel was very good. I highly suggest reading it.
I have to agree that for a season opener, it's not that impressive. Even as part of the two-episode premiere back when I first watched it, it just went meh. The next episode, on the other hand, the feels. The 99 feels. has it really been since season one's The Hidden Enemy that we last saw Ventress? Jeez, I missed that sexy Sith harpy. That's a hard one to say. Say that five times
sexy,
fast.
Sexy Sith harpy. Sexy Sith harpy. So did Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan missed her too.
One thing I'm glad that was brought forth in this episode was 99. In the EU, the Kaminoans were even bigger jerks in the show. If any clone showed any defect whatsoever, such as not being able to run a certain distance, hit a certain number of targets, etc., the entire platoon was deemed defective and scrapped. We know
what
that
a waste of money.
Yeah, I know. The whole platoon. That'll keep other platoons on their toes, I'm sure. We know they treated the clones just as products and not living beings, but to slaughter hundreds, if not thousands, of people showed just how heartless the Kaminoans were. If that strict view was brought to Clone Wars, 99 would have been scrapped and we never would have met him. That is true. Also, if you want to keep doing the commentaries, I'll keep listening. I love not just The Force Awakens and Rogue One, but the original trilogy, too. And yes, bring on the Ewok adventure and Battle for Endor.
Aaron, if I could say, me and Chris have mentioned it, and we were talking about possibly doing a commentary someday for Spaceballs.
Spaceballs.
My shorts is bigger than your shorts. So we might do a Spaceballs commentary. We were talking about that when we reach a break of some kind.
That's definitely in the hopper for ideas.
Yeah.
Great episode, guys. Spaceballs 2 is coming out too. So.
What?
Yeah, Mel Brooks is making Spaceballs 2 as we speak, Cope. As we speak, yes.
Oh, yay! Oh my God, it's amazing!
Well, let's hope so. Mel Brooks in his old age has been not as strong as Mel Brooks in his young age. But we'll see. Anyway, Great episode, guys, and here's to ARC Troopers. Also, on a personal note, it was a complete and total surprise about what you guys thought about my tribute to Sean. Well, I don't know. You shouldn't have been surprised. It was awesome. What you both said meant so very much to me. I personally deal with extreme feelings of lack of self-worth, so hearing that you thought I did a good job really helps me. It was an honor to do it.
It's not just us. It's not just us. Like, everybody, all the two true freaks across the board. Yeah.
It was an honor to do it. I'm just so glad that so many people wanted to come and help with it. I was just a stranger, and you guys were family. Hearing Chris say that it was the Two True Freaks show for the month, man, I can't describe how good that felt. Well, it felt good for us, too. Yeah. I wish I had known him like you two, but I'm glad to have played a small part in helping to remember him. Also, for a shameless plug, check out my latest episode, as I pretty much gushed and thanked everyone so very much for their help. I recorded that before listening to this episode, so hearing what you guys thought was even better. So here's to season 3 and beyond. And yeah, I was just thinking of Sean today. Every time I walk downtown from my house, I pass a street called Engel Place.
You know, spelled the same way as Sean. I was recording with Professor Allen earlier for something in the summer, and we were talking about Sean a little bit beforehand too. So
now I'm really excited, because this is we haven't gotten us a iTunes review in a while.
Yay! So it's actually, even though the name on here says Obi-Qui-Yet, I know it's my friend Brian, my old high school friend Brian, that I think I mentioned after Dragon Con. I was like, oh my god, Chris, a real person actually came to me and said they liked our show. This is that person. Ah. Remember when I said that? I was like several episodes ago, like after September. Yeah, this is my old high school buddy Brian, and I didn't know he was listening to the show, but he listens to the show, and he came up to me at Dragon Con. He was just like, yes, this is my wife. Oh my god, let's talk about Jedi Guys and Jedi. And I was like, oh my god, you actually listen to this. So Brian wrote me the other day, and he told me he wrote an iTunes review, so that's why I know that this is him. And it's titled, quote unquote, Classy Nostalgia, and it has 5 whole stars. So thank you for that, Brian.
Wow.
And it says, as the fabulous Chris Honeywell would say, I really like it. These awesome fans sat down after the reinvigoration of the Star Wars movie franchise with The Force Awakens and had the same thought as I did. I want more Star Wars. Hence why we came back to the television wonder that is Clone Wars. Hoping Chris sit down with a weekly podcast going episode by episode of the Clone Wars in a fan environment that makes you feel like you're sitting with close friends. Very close friends. Because they earned that classy not safe for work badge, and they'll have you laughing out tears the whole time that you're doing it. Chris Honeywell brings his wealth of knowledge from his time serving faithfully as the general sci-fi nerd, and Hope Molinax brings in the much-needed perspective of someone whose fandom was shaped by the new Star Wars, quote-unquote new Star Wars. In addition, as someone who has spent his Star Wars nerddom learning the ins and outs of Jedi lore, the attention to the lesser explored realms of clone fandom is absolutely refreshing and educational to me. So if you're looking to go through the Clone Wars series again while waiting for the next episode of Rebels or the next Star Wars movie, and you want to learn and laugh while doing it, this is definitely the place to go. Thank you, Brian. I'm glad you're enjoying
the show.
I want
a classy badge. I like classy badge. I like that we earned our classy badge. I like the words classy badge together.
You know what I should do? Some of my friends have button makers. I should see if they can write, like, just make me a quick button that says, like, classy in quotes.
So yeah, it definitely has to be in quotes.
I have to ask, because when I'm at 221 BCon, I'll see if I can remember that, because a lot of my, most of my friends are vendors at 221 BCon, so the night before, they're, like, pressing out as many buttons as they can, and I usually help them with that. And so I'd be like, can I make a button? 2 buttons? And they're going to say classy. So, yeah, classy badges. So, but seriously, Brian, thank you. And so, yeah, just keep in mind, if you guys want to leave us a review, you can, like I said, you can leave it on Facebook. You can shoot us a tweet at JGuysAndJedi. But we definitely like getting reviews on iTunes because they help people find the show. So if you like us, either rate our show or, like, leave us a review, because if you like us and you want other people to listen to us, that helps us out and moves us up through the iTunes Google ranks. I hear you undoing your thing.
I beg your pardon. There's some static on the line.
That's okay.
Oh, no, that's not static. That is a Kit Kat wrapper. Yeah.
I actually went out and bought a Kit Kat just so I could eat a Kit Kat with you.
Oh, we can have a crinkle war.
Mine is a big Kit Kat, 5 crispy wafers and milk chocolate, 2 bars to share. It's a king size, so I'm compensating for length.
Mine is from Britain, and it's just a regular old British Kit Kat. No fancy flavor.
Why is this thing is fucking huge?
This American one. This one is made up of 4 Kit Kats. Snap one off. They don't really snap off on this. It's the chocolate in these European Kit Kats is, like, softer. All right.
Oh.
Now, this is good. Just a plain old Kit Kat, but the chocolate is so much better. The UK Kit Kat, just regular old Joe Kit Kat, tastes pretty much exactly like the Canadian Kit Kats that I was talking about. That whenever my friends go to Canada, I'm like, pick me up Kit Kats. It's so good.
Man, this big Kit Kat is like ridiculous. It's like...
Is it one of the super thick ones? It's...
Yeah, it's almost, let's see, you know how like your fingertips or your first knuckle is roughly an inch?
Uh-huh.
It's just barely shorter than an inch thick. This is ridiculous. I was having trouble breaking them because they're so thick. That's what she said. So the British Kit Kat is good?
It is good. I'm going to have another one.
Last night, that crazy Brexit thing, God bless the Brits.
I actually ate a big dinner today, so I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to have room for my Kit Kat. So I was only going to eat 1 Kit Kat, but I think I'm going to eat 2 Kit Kats right now.
This king-size, like, big cat is fucking massive. Like, seriously. It's like 2.5 Kit Kats in one.
Yeah, I think that's what they have to do. I think Americans are hogs, basically. In order to market it, they have to make these gigundous things.
The thing is 17% fat.
Yeah. Huh, I wonder what this one is. I'll bet you this one is probably around the same, if not more.
Since it's made with milk, though, you have 6% calcium because it's so big.
Yeah. No. This is 15% fat.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad for a candy bar.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. That's for half a serving. So if you eat the whole thing, it's like double that.
Well, what's half a serving? Is half a serving half of the pack, or is half a serving half of a stick of it? You know.
It came with 2 sticks, so I'm assuming it's 1. So if I ate this whole thing,
yes. It'd be On mine it says 4 fingers equal 1 serving, but that's in the UK.
This
so
says
two fingers
size.
Would be.
This says serving size, half package, servings for 2.
Okay.
So this is 34. If I eat both of these, this is 34% of my daily fat.
Yep.
So I'm about to get 34% fatter, because this is really good.
I don't think that's how it works, but okay.
I'm really fine. That's okay. All I've had today was like a sandwich and a salad.
No, you burned off those Kit Kats just using brain power just recording this podcast. You're fine.
I did fight a war on this podcast.
A lot of people don't know, but recording a podcast is like, if you record 2 or 3 podcasts, you're basically like, it's the equivalent of running a marathon. So.
Oh, yeah. Man.
As far as calories burn.
The most ridiculous podcast I think I've ever done was when I was in college. And we did something like an 8-hour long Doctor Who podcast. It's an early, early, early 2 week show.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. And we had people coming in and out, but I remember I did the whole thing. It was fucking 8 hours long. That was the longest. Like, once it was edited down, it ended up being like 6 hours. But
right.
It was a long ass time.
I have nightmares about editing a 6-hour podcast. I won't be doing that for a while.
I know. If ever again. I think we were going through every episode of Matt Smith's first season or something. Something crazy like that. It was insane. This is really good, but it's taking me a long time to eat. So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. And probably by now, maybe Eat It and Beat It's come out. My new podcast on food and porn that I keep talking about. I'm getting very excited. I made the opening music for it today.
And, this sounds really great. I'm so excited.
Dario and I have recorded our second episode and decided what our third episode is going to be about. So it's marching right forward. Everybody wants to be a guest on it. We got all tons of nerd podcasts coming up that I'm also working on. There's going to be a guest editors month on our popular and one of our original shows, Back to the Bins, where the original cast takes a break and brings in guests to do the show without them. So you're going to get all sorts of weirdness for that. And you can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. There's a Two True Freaks page, and there's a Two True Freaks Cantina that you can join to talk about stuff. Our main page usually just shows you like what podcasts are coming out, and the Cantina is more of just everybody talking. And there's a J Guys and Jedi Twitter that Hope runs, and ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum, Gene runs the Two True Freaks Twitter. I just love ba-ba-ba-ba-da-bop. Gene! and I can't wait till the next time I see Gene, because there's a whole bunch of physical actions that I could do. There's like a foot stop and a hand clap that should go ba-da-da-da-da-da.
I think it was last week's episode.
And then it ends with a point when I go, Gene, you know, one of those back at you points.
So, like, I think it was last week's episode that we came up with that one, and last week's episode's not out yet. Right. So, I'm waiting for Gene's reaction for when that episode comes out.
He'll know. Well, he'll know by the time this episode's out.
You are required to leave us a comment on that, Gene, and I request it. So.
What about you? You're on the internet, too, I've heard.
I finally finished chewing that Kit Kat.
I was trying to give you some Kit Kat time.
Thank you so much, because, like, that last thing was just, like, you know how, like, Kit Kats, like, they're so good, but, like the wafers, same thing with Butterfingers, they kind of, like, build up on your teeth.
Yes.
Yeah, Butterfingers that scrapes a lot of your tongue. Yeah, I was doing that, so I was just, like, scrape faster, and then I was telling Chris beforehand, like, I have a sore tooth, so I was, like, chewing, and then I'd be like, oh, this is good, ow, fuck my face.
Yeah.
So I was having a tiny battle.
Chewing on one side of your mouth.
That's exactly what I was doing, because I have a little sore tooth, so.
I've been there.
All right, so, you can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter, and I also like to live tweet episodes of Rebels when I see them. And you can also find me on Twitter at HopeMonax, where I tweet about everything. I've been doing a lot of live tweets for, like, Timeless, and when Once Upon a Time comes back, I'll be live tweet. I like to live tweet. It's fun. It makes life fun. And I'm also the news beat writer for What the Fangirl. So feel free to go check us out over there, see what we're doing, have some fun. I've been debating writing this like long piece about Once Upon a Time, but I don't have time, which is kind of ironic. But still, check me out over at whatthefangirl.com and give me a shout out. So yeah, that's where you can find me. Yay! I'm trying to figure out a way of how to sneak into SCAD. SCAD, SCAD. SCAD is the Savannah College of Art and Design. It's a school down here, and the Atlanta location is having a little event where Colin O'Donoghue, who is one of my favorite actors and one of my personal heroes, is going to be there this weekend. And some of my teachers used to teach at SCAD. Like, some of my friends used to be teachers at SCAD, or they're currently teaching at SCAD. So I want to see if they can, like, sneak me in. Not because I want to be a crazy fangirl, just because I want to, like, high-five Colin O'Donoghue and thank him for being a hero of mine. That's all I want to do.
Thank you for being a hero.
I need a hero!
And
holding up for a hero to
my advice is, for the people who go, don't confuse scat with scad. Big mistake.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just figured out how to end this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to Google Padme and Satine fanfiction and see what the first thing I can find is. And I'm just going to read the very first thing. Let's see, TV shows. Okay, we got a vamp for like another minute, Chris. Vampy, vamp, 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 vamp. Where's Star Wars?
That's why we got editing.
Star Wars. That's true. Actually, it might be under... It might actually be under movies. Fanfiction.net, you suck. That's why Archive of Our Own is better. Actually, I can't say anything. I'm on both. I'm on both, so they're just different. Star Wars, which has 42,000 things. Filters. Okay, so we're gonna rated M. We're gonna do the rated M. We need characters. So, Satine.
Here, I'll introduce it. Come on, Hope. Give us a little Satine and Padme fan fiction to go out on.
Wait, where's why? Rio Chuchi is down here. Where's Satine? Maybe it's under Caper Kraz. Kraz. Or maybe it's under D for Duchess. There she is, Duchess Satine. characters. Padme Amidala. Okay, I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna apply. There's only 3 fan fictions of them! Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan all stared at one another, not a single of them knowing how they got there. One moment they were on Mustafar, and the next they were on Coruscant, knowing everything. Okay, that's not what I'm looking for. Aw, none of these are Padme Satine. These are all dumb. There are no Padme Satine fanfictions on fanfiction.net. I'm dumb.
Alright, well then, I know what we're going out with. We're having a contest.
What?
You will be the hero of J-Guys and Jedi for the first person who puts up some good Satine and Padme fanfiction and sends it into us. I'll read it. Hope will read it. Dirty Yoda will read it. Just write it.
Yeah. Alright, well, I guess on that note, may the Gal Pal team be with you. Gal Pal!
May the space lesbian fantasies be with you. Gene!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.